Well, we'll get into step number six here as we talk about financial alchemy. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls and maybe your money stories next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Morgana Ray, her book, Financial Alchemy. Where do you get the book, by the way, Morgana?
It's available on Amazon.
Okay, cool. How about your website, too? Same thing?
Yes, Morgana Ray. Ray is spelled R-A-E. And there's a secret there. Well, first, I have a gift of a 4 Money Magnetic video series for Coast to Coast listeners.
Oh, cool.
There's an opt-in to get 4 videos, one each day, to work on one part of the process at a time. And also, if you buy the book on Amazon and you come back to my website and enter your receipt, I have a secret 2-hour teleclass, a Q&A call, that takes you deeper into some of the questions that came up when I had the book launch.
Excellent. Now, step six, what might it be?
Action. So you have this conversation with your money honey in step 5, and initially you might get really vague Yoda-esque stuff like love yourself or trust. And that's great, except that I don't know anybody who does a perfect job of loving themselves or trusting 24/7 all the time. So we want you to have a win, and we want to make it tangible, real, measurable, physical, because as I said earlier, if you want physical results, you want to take physical action. So step number 6, you negotiate with your money honey on some physical action you're going to take to let yourself and your money honey know that this relationship has changed. And the biggest key here is that you keep your commitment, because you want to establish trust in this relationship. So, for example, my client Janet Breitmeyer in Canada, her money honey wanted her to take a walk, which doesn't sound like a great way to make money. And she was too stressed out trying to get clients on the phone, making sales calls, doing all the things she was supposed to do to make money, and striking out. And she did this for 2 weeks, and her money honey kept saying, just go outside and take a walk. And she finally took a walk and picked up 2 new clients for more than she had ever charged before in her life on that walk. So take the action, especially if it doesn't make sense. The way you can tell it's your money honey is it will feel good. It may stretch you. Sometimes your money honey may want you to do something that might scare you a little bit, but it's always coming from a place of love, not of shame or blame or judgment or criticism. It's always going to be stuff that reflects that you're just more creative and more lovable than you may hold yourself. So self-care things are going to make your money honey really happy. Taking care of business, it's a fluid process. You just throw out ideas, and if you did your job in the earlier steps with the monster and meeting the money honey, you will get a really clear reaction.
What if somebody is just practical? Simply, now, are these exercises to get money or to keep it?
Both. I have coached people who were in really on the facing the abyss. Really, I had a client living in a trailer park with no water or power. Really bad situation. I've also coached clients with tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's about making a relationship with money reflect your values. It's always about ultimately serving love, lifestyle, and legacy, because I think that's really the only reason for money is to serve love, lifestyle, and legacy. And from a practical standpoint, I have given speeches to very spiritual, woo-woo, paranormal crowds, but I've also been a lecturer to scientific events, and I have psychologists and neuroscientists explaining why my process works. When you are no longer protecting yourself from what you want because your unconscious is on alert 24/7 and will always determine your results, not your conscious mind. This is why, by the way, I don't believe mindset works. If mindset worked, nobody in America would ever have to go on a diet again, because we all know what we're supposed to do, but then we see the cake and all of our appetites and desires take over, because that's the subconscious. But when we can get your subconscious on board 100%, then the results change really quickly. You change really quickly. You become who you really are.
When does karma kick in?
Well, I think karma is just a lesson. And I think we have that our whole life. I don't see it as so much a negative punishing thing. I think we just come to the world with certain lessons that we're here to learn. And it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. The good news is, if you're in a lot of pain, the process is actually easier for you because it's less digging to get to why change must happen. We have so much built-in resistance to change because it's scary and unfamiliar. But the more intolerable you find the status quo, the more committed you are to making a change. And those are the people who have the fastest and most dramatic results. So I believe karma may be, you know, the hand you're dealt, but you get to play it. You get to throw in some cards and pick up others, and you actually have a lot of choice there.
How much of this is luck? Let me tell you what I mean by that. We've got a guest that comes on once in a while. His name's Gallenberger, Joseph Gallenberger, and he's written several books, including Liquid Luck. And he's conducted experiments, Morgana, in Las Vegas with a group of people. And he has concluded that attitude is everything. And that if you go to a Las Vegas casino and you want to win, your attitude has got to be superb. And if you start doubting yourself and stuff like that, chances are you're going to lose. And he scientifically has proven that the better the attitude, the better the return. Does that fit in with what you do?
Oh, very much. Yeah, I definitely believe that. And I think that some people get that naturally. That's not their lesson this time round. And others of us, and I'm raising my hand, it's our job to learn that.
Let's take some calls for you. Let's go to Dora, truck driving in Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Dora. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. It's an honor to talk to both of you. My question is, if you have negative family members, like my husband and my son are very, very negative, you know, they never like to see anybody do well or anything like that.
Oh, geez.
How much does that play into me just, you know, trying everything I can and hoping to have a peaceful house, you know, just enough financial to take care of the family and, you know, our animals and stuff like that? How much does that actually play into that to make it difficult for me to kind of accomplish that?
Well, when you got that negativity looming around, it's not easy, Morgana.
It's not and there's another side to it, because that negativity is really feeding your monster, and it's also teaching you that you need to be poor and you need to be negative to fit in or you'll lose love, which is a great monster scam. If love and money are playing on opposite teams, everybody loses. But here's what I've discovered, is when you change your own relationship with money, and oh my God, especially for women in relationship with men, when you become happy, when you relax, which is like a relaxed woman is like a unicorn to men. When you relax, you feel safe, you feel loved. The men in your life are so happy. They are grateful. They feel like they're doing a better job. So what happens is you start to change their experience and their relationship, that you become very attractive, and they want to know what you're doing that has made you so much happier, so much more lucky. And what I've seen over and over again, marriages get better. I'm just working with one partner, and the other partner falls back in love. So marriages get sweeter. I have clients who've been on a second honeymoon for over a decade now, and I have that several times. And your partner, your son and your husband, they might even get curious.
Why is it so important to have a partner or someone? Why can't you succeed on your own?
You can. I did. But then I did the same process with my love monster, and I met my husband 2 months later, and we've been married 20 times in 15 countries because he proposed that we get married 100 times in 100 countries.
You've been married 20 different times?
In less than 4 years.
With ceremonies and everything?
Oh, my God. With castles and costumes. Yes, it's been quite an adventure.
Well, if that's what you like, that's what you like. Haven't been married in, like, Dracula's castle or anything, have you?
No, but we were married in Slovenia, and I'd never heard of Slovenia before I was getting married there. So my husband is a travel writer, so he knows much about the world.
Oh, cool. Yes. Chris is in Cleveland. Welcome to the program, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. And a very interesting show. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing, Chris.
You've always got a great show, George. I've been trying to listen to this as it's going along. It's a little confusing. One, how do you identify this honey money thing? monster? And then what about the monster? How much of this is to bad luck? So you had asked that question, and I was thinking about it. Is I've owned a couple businesses for about 30 years. Well, I started a second one, and it's just been a 17 years of just the darndest luck. And I don't even know how to call it luck. I don't really believe in luck, but things that happen. I've actually had people say, I feel sorry for you. I'm almost afraid to be around you.
Oh, my gosh. Like you have a black cloud over your head.
I don't know. You know, and I'm a very giving person. I'm the kind of person I'll give my last dime to somebody so they could eat. You know,
that should come back to you. I mean, I have found that the more you give, the more comes back. But, Morgana, let's let you jump in here. What's going on with him?
You can change your luck because I've seen this so many times and I've experienced it myself. So great questions. For more clarity, I do go through the steps in my book, Financial Alchemy, 12 Months of Magic and Manifestation, so that you can see it. And I also have tons of free content on my website at MorganaRae.com, R-A-E is my last name. So let me help you with this, and let's go over the steps. First, take all that pain, take all that bad luck, take the unfairness of it. Also take any time you've been rejected or heartbroken or felt ashamed of yourself. That's a good place to start. I have a sense you could get there very quickly in step one because you have a lot of material. Then you want to imagine there's a person, a really horrible, completely bad person who is responsible for all of that. All those failures are because this guy's been pulling the strings. He's like this evil puppet master who is obsessed with you and has it in for you. It's very personal.
Even though if you were the one responsible for your own demise?
Well, because...
Instead of blaming somebody else?
Yes. Very counterintuitive, but it will make sense in a moment.
All right.
Because now you're going to destroy the monster. We do not destroy you. We destroy the monster. The monster that tells you it's your fault, tells you that you're stupid.
Could the monster be within us?
We make the monster outside of us so we can destroy the monster without destroying ourselves. Of course, it's all coming from us. Because that's the only frame of reference we have. But we always want to make the monster completely external. And the monster may, in our imagination, fight for survival by pleading for our sympathy or telling us that it's our fault. And I'm only telling you what works. And the only way this works is if you make the monster outside of you so that you can destroy it without destroying yourself.
So you're imagining this monster creature while you're doing this?
Yes. So like everything you don't like about yourself, all your bad patterns, all of your hurt, put it in the monster. Blame him. This is your chance to play the victim card and have it pay off. How many times, how often do we get that opportunity? So instead of beating yourself up, which I'm sure you're already really good at, you don't have to do that here, because now you're going to take all of it and it's all going to be on the monster, and you want to make him really big, really powerful, really horrible, and then destroy every trace of him. And that creates the energy, that creates the momentum, that actually creates the flexibility in your brain wiring. They call it neuroplasticity, to rewire you. And when you have such an extreme experience and you destroy it and you reject it, now we can rewire you. And that's when you bring in someone who loves you, who can honestly see all the wonderful, kind, brilliant, genius qualities in you that you may not have been able to access before. You couldn't hear because you felt so sad. But now you have this person who loves you, and you get to see who you really are. And what happens is this turns on the genius part of your brain. Because you feel safe in the world, you feel loved, you feel confidence, and we were talking about that's what changes your luck. And now you have a relationship, and it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing relationship, a dialogue with someone you love, someone who loves you, and you get better information. I've had clients decide to pull out of business partnerships because their money honey could see things that their conscious mind couldn't see.
Interesting.
Their subconscious knew, but they had to hear it from their money honey, oh, this isn't a good deal.
But it's still you, right?
It's always you. Everything is you.
And you're sure it works all the time?
That's an interesting question.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, because I don't know everybody who buys my book. I only know the people I coach.
Well, the people you coach, what's the percentage of success then?
I would say very close to 100%.
All right. If it's not 100, what creates the 1 or 2% that it doesn't work? What are they doing wrong?
I'm thinking of one person who I really love, who's going through a rough time. She has breakthroughs, and then she has relapses. I think for her, she still has more to learn to really love herself. I believe that when a problem persists, it's because there's still something left that you need to get out of it before you can let it go.
Would people be able to undergo hypnosis? Would it work that way too?
I
stumped you.
I am a certified master hypnotist, and when I coach people, I put them into a hypnotic state. My hesitation is somebody who doesn't know this work adequately could do more harm than good.
Interesting. Stay with us. We're going to come back. Final segment to go. Final phone calls next. Okay, welcome back to our final segment as we talk financial alchemy. Let's go back to more calls. Morgana Ray with us, of course. What has been for you the most satisfying thing you've done teaching people and helping people, Morgana?
It's when people get their life back and they love life and they love themselves. And, you know, I've shared a lot of big number stories, but there's a woman who wrote to me, and I didn't even coach her. She coached herself through the process, which I, by the way, I encourage everyone to give that a try. And you brought up a great point in the last segment about hypnosis. What I would say is use self-hypnosis. I also use tapping, use whatever modality you love, but always keep yourself in the driver's seat, because you know yourself better than anybody. So back to Ruth Leilani Smith, what she wrote to me was she had been without a job for 14 months. She was through all of her savings. She was really desperate. And she heard me speak. And based on hearing me on probably some audio class somewhere, she did the process. She slayed her monster. She met her money honey. She went to a job fair the next day, and she had been without a job. She had been applying, going through all of her savings for 14 months, and she got a job the very next day. And that kind of thing just inspires me.
I think it's a great inspiration, to be sure. Let's go now back to the calls. We go to JJ in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, JJ. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. I just caught part of the program, but I just want to say your guest, I guess it's your positive energy, is making everything inside of me say yes, yes, yes.
Huh.
And yeah. When she was talking about the money monster, I just triggered a memory, and I have a question about, I was in an Indian casino sitting at a blackjack table.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone was losing, you know? And then, like, two or three people got up, and I could just feel the energy change, and then I started winning. So I wanted to ask her, like, how can the money monster affect the whole blackjack table?
That is much like Joseph Gallenberger's theory of liquid luck about attitude. Negativity breeds defeat, does it not, Morgana?
Yes. And my hunch, because I don't know you, but my hunch based on what you said and what I'm picking up is I bet you are highly empathic. And you were picking up on their pain and feeling their own anxiety as if it was your own. And when they left, you were free of their feelings, and you could just be yourself.
It's really interesting and fascinating at the same time how this works when it's applied the right way.
Well, and the monster comes from our environment. We aren't born with it, but we go through a life of experiencing hurts, seeing hurts, and building this wall of protection that makes us feel that something isn't safe. Our parents, especially, are our first experience of money. And if we had any pain from them because they told us whether we were loved or not, what we were worth or not, whether we were safe or not, and any trauma that we had there will translate into our money relationship later on.
Now, you keyed in on money, and you've done that a lot in your career. You could just as well apply it to health issues as well, could you not?
Health issues, absolutely. I had the greatest story about a client with infertility. That was her pain. Like, everybody else gets to have babies, but she can't. And we made a monster about that. And by the end of the process, her new honey was pointing at her belly, because she had just received her flow that day, and she was so upset because she was trying so hard with her husband to get pregnant. What I found out from her the next day is the flow went away, and by the next day she was pregnant. She now has two children.
How about that?
So I like to say I helped somebody get pregnant, although I think her husband had more to do with it.
I think probably so, too. Gene in Vinton, Iowa, you're welcome to the program. Gene, go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Hey, Gene. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Thank you. I kind of break this down into two things, basically love of money and love of people.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of my question is, which would be the number one or the number two, in what order? Should there be an order?
Love of people. And by the way, that's why I was pushing money away, because I picked up messages as a child. I had an inheritance stolen by a close family member. I had my college trust fund stolen from the person I took my first steps to. And I made a decision as a child that money got in the way of love, and I chose love. I didn't realize I was making that decision until decades later when I had no money. So I actually had to make money a person worthy of love, loving, kind, not just to me but to the world. I had to make money a person just so that I could let it be in my life. I would always say love of people comes first. And we don't want to make money in opposition to love of people. We want your relationship with money to be on your team, making the world a better place with you.
Seems simple enough, doesn't it? Let's go to Ken in Elmsford, New York. Welcome to the show. Hi, Ken.
Hi. I would like to ask Morgana if there's if dates or timing have something to do with accumulating money, because I in 1998 I started investing on March 20th. And I set a goal for myself to reach $1 million. And 17 years later, on exactly March 20th, I achieved
$1 million. Good for you.
Yay!
You did it.
Yes, I did. I'm a clerk. I make an average income.
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
Smart and shrewd.
I found the most important thing of all was to separate my wants and my needs and spend on my needs and put off my wants.
Ken, what was your best investment, do you think?
Best investment? Well, I invest in probably just two mutual funds. I don't want to mention the mutual funds.
I get that. And you just wrote it out with them?
I wrote it out with them right through the Y2K recession and the Great Recession. It went down. I went down like 46% in the Great Recession.
Oh, gosh.
I just kept with it.
And it came ripping right back up.
Back in 2011, I gained like $211,000 in 2011.
I love that. And what I love is you didn't make a decision based on fear. Financial decisions based on fear rarely work out well. You just stuck with your trust in yourself, and that's why you came out the other side. That's beautiful.
But the weird thing is I started investing on March 20th, 1998.
Yeah, our numbers lady.
Reached a million on March 20th, 2015.
I love it. And that's what, first day of spring, isn't it? Right, pretty close to that.
Pretty close, yeah, right. And the anniversary is coming up pretty soon, my 20th anniversary.
I love
of investing.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Interesting. I've got a little land I could sell you.
Now he has a really good, solid relationship with money.
Well, he's smart, too. How important is that?
And he's a good relationship partner. He didn't check out on her when things looked bad. He stuck with her.
Who's her?
I'm just imagining that his money honey is a her.
Oh, you did that. Okay.
Yeah.
Could be a pet. What if you like dogs or something, cats?
Well, that's the funny thing. When I first started doing this with other people, like when I did it with myself, overnight, I had four new clients paying me double what I'd ever charged before. And then I started getting all these clients. I was not even marketing money at all, but I was getting clients and I was trying this out on them. And I was not recreating my success for them back in the beginning when I was first doing this with others. And at that time, people had money honeys that were dogs and were cats and were horses, and they were not making money. When I shifted it to be more like my own experience and they started having romantic money honeys, that's when they started seeing financial results. That's the only reason I steer people in that direction, because I've tried it the other way. And cats don't know much about money.
Cats don't know much about money?
No. Love cats, but they're really not helpful.
Huh. What about turtles? Let's go to Mike in Newberry, Florida. You're up with us, Michael. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to ask her if she ever has any kind of contemplation that she's possibly hypocritical, creating a money monster, yet she's generated a source of wealth and revenue off of people's fundamental weaknesses instead of just teaching the original thing she discovered, which is God's way of self-worth and self-love and loving each other.
Without the three rough things.
I love that question. Thank you so much. 99% of what I do is for free. As I said earlier, I can't coach 7.5 billion people, so I have free videos on my website. I get testimonials from the free stuff, and I celebrate that. Nobody has to hire me. If they do, I can take them farther then they can go themselves, because that's my expertise. But nobody has to hire me. And I am so happy when people get there without me, and tons of people do. So my job is just to help. I only charge for the people I coach so that I can stay in business and keep helping more people. But I do stuff for free every day, and I get a lot of joy out of it.
You do enjoy it, don't you?
I can tell.
Can people email you through your website?
Absolutely. Because of phishing, I didn't put the email address on the site, but if you go to Morgana Rae, which is MorganaRAE.com, top right corner, it says contact Morgana, and you can contact me there.
Let's go to Mission, Kansas. Troy's with us, first-time caller. Troy, go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, George, and thank you for having me on
sure
the show.
Thing.
I enjoy listening to you and your guests.
Thank you.
So my question for Ms. Rae is this. You know, I'm listening to you speak, and I'm intrigued by your approach and views on building finance and wealth and security.
Mm-hmm.
But in listening to you speak of your previous successes and achievements and guiding others, it seems that maybe those successes you mentioned were people who possibly already had chances or positions forthcoming to capitalize on their gains and just needed a push to achieve their goals. Being that the most current wealth and earnings data says that 80% of the country is check to check, I guess what I'm asking is, what would your immediate advice be for, say, you know, someone who doesn't have those pre-existing chances or prospects, or someone who is, you know, in a low-income job making ends meet, a single parent, or somebody who has previous failed investments or losses and is maybe just starting over almost and trying to build a rebuild?
By the way, that's the majority of people that I've worked with. And, for example, Tanya Anderson was living in Pennsylvania in a trailer park without any electricity or water when I first worked with her. Now she has a master's degree in social work, and she's leading retreats around the world. Start where you are and use it. I so believe in the innate genius of human beings, and I've seen people come out of such frightening situations so many times that it's given me this unwavering faith in what's possible for people. So I was just looking because Athena Burke, for example, she was, remember 2008, her house was underwater, mountains of debt, mountains of credit card debt, hardly making any money. Her husband wasn't making any money, and they were separating, and she had two small children. That's when she began. Within months, she was making tens of thousands of dollars, working part-time, and going on what she called money moons with her money honey down to Florida. She just did the inner work. We make better choices when we are in our genius, when we feel better about ourselves, when we feel better about our chances in life, when life feels less scary, regardless of the circumstances. And the first thing that happened with Athena was her bank called her out of the blue. Remember, she had this underwater mortgage. They offered to renegotiate her mortgage so that her payments would be lower. They also paid off a ton of credit card debt, and her monthly payments were lower. Out of the blue, she didn't even ask for it. They offered it to her. This is actually 10 years ago that this happened. And then she met a wonderful guy years later who asked her kids if he could ask her for marriage. And she's just been on this unending journey with her money honey. She goes on walks with her imaginary money honey every day, and it just doesn't end.
Does she hold its hand?
Yes. Well, actually, the funniest thing, last I heard from her, she had had a fight with her husband, who she loves dearly, but she had had a fight, and she was complaining to her money honey, hoping that this time her money honey would take her side. And her money honey said, well, I had to make him imperfect, otherwise he'd have no use for me, but he's the closest to me that you'll ever find in human form.
Way to go. Hey, Morgana, thank you for being on the program. Good luck with the book, okay?
Thank you so much.
It's Morgana Rae, Financial Alchemy. Up next on Coast to Coast, final hour to go, open lines. Anything goes. Plus, share with us your thoughts on just strange things. We'll be back.